Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carley, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to www.drcarley.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on your history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following: toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494, toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_.com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on the planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, causing all autoimmune disease and cancer, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free, and the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, and the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry, which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and our earth as we would want done to ourselves. so please spread the word about these broadcasts. On tonight's show, we will answer the question, what's healing America? Raw food. And my special guest tonight is someone by the name of Dorit. Are you there, Dorit? Are you there, Dorit? Okay, apparently we've lost our guest. Seth, can you redial our guest, please? Because tonight we're going to be discussing raw foods. This is very strange because she was just on the line. Are you there, Dorit? Isn't it funny how we have problems on this show every week? Last week, we were started 10 minutes late, and this week, we don't have our guest, even though she was there right before I did the introduction. Dorit, are you there? Okay, folks, I'm going to go off this line for a temporary second and call the station and find out what's going on. Stay tuned.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Welcome to the show, Dorit. As I said, strange things oftentimes happen on my show, but I'm very grateful to have you on the show tonight to tell us what's healing America, raw foods.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I just wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Dorit, love for life and all experiences occurred after a severe illness and brought her close to the brink of dying, has propelled her into writing Celebrating Our Raw Nature, a guide for transitioning to a plant-based living foods diet. In addition to numerous guest appearances on television shows, she is presently working on a DVD series and recently launched a radio talk show called Recipes for Life as a host on I Am Healthy Radio. com. I love the name of that station. The name of the show comes from the title of her third book, not yet in print, Recipes for Life, and is also the title for the DVD series. Adding variety to her work as a certified living food chef, Dorit is an educator for the Shopper Center, coaches life skills groups, runs a fitness in the park program, and was a workshop leader for a medically supervised cleansing and detoxification retreat at the Fox Hollow Clinic and Spa in Kentucky. She was the innovator and founder of the Movement Therapy Department at Canyon Ranch in the Berkshires, and under her direction, this department became the most financially profitable department of Canyon Ranch. She also teaches workshops at Whole Foods Markets, Erewhon Natural Foods Market in Los Angeles, and Wild Oats in other parts of the United States, and runs a green cuisine catering business. As part of her community outreach, Dorit created a raw lifestyle network group for those wishing to add more life, nutrient-packed high-energy foods to their diet. The group meets the first Sunday of every month at a raw-friendly establishment and meetings place, and those meetings are free of charge. Serenity Foods is her packaged food line under the distributorship of Vegan Traders and is available in several prominent natural foods markets in Los Angeles, California. In 2004, Dorit shot a pilot for a TV release called The Uncooking Show. I love that. She is presently touring the United States and Canada to promote the message of conscious eating and to bring high energy and healing foods into the forefront. In 2007, Dorit founded and organized the first Raw Lifestyle Film Festival, which was such a huge success that she is now seeking funding to make this an annual event. To learn more, please visit her website, http://serenityspaces.org, or call 310-854-2078. So that's my introduction of Dorit, and I want to thank you so much, Dorit, for being a guest on our show tonight, where we often tell people what's ailing America, but I am so excited to have the show about what's healing America, because we are what we eat, and certainly raw food is where we need to start. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yes. I think that one of the most important reasons to listen to the show today is because there's so much ailing us in our society that we need to find alternatives that will heal us, so that we do not constantly be victims and fall sick because of all the things that are ailing us. So I focus on vibrant health, not just health, but health where you get up in the morning and you're glad to be alive and you want to run, you're able to do whatever you wish to do, where the joy that's inside of you comes spilling out just from waking up in the morning. And when you go to bed at night, you don't have to be worried about will you sleep, will you have insomnia, are you going to have a full night's rest. This is what, to me, a diet ought to create, any kind of diet in our lives. Now, when I say diet, I don't mean something you do temporarily or in order to do something. I mean a lifestyle diet, diet meaning how we nourish or nurture our bodies. So
I totally agree with you. Unfortunately, the powers that be, and I have to talk about various conspiracies on the show because these are realities, not just theories. The powers that be apparently do not have our best interest at heart. And I don't know if you're aware, but they're now considering, that is the Fatal Drugs Allowed Agency, the FDA, are now actually considering irradiating all of our food, not just the regular food, but the organics as well, and they're calling this pasteurization. Are you aware of that situation?
Actually, it's already started. The raw almonds are no longer raw. We no longer have raw almonds. As of September this year, all almonds, even if they're labeled raw, that are made, that are from the United States, are now pasteurized.
Right.
So that is false labeling, actually, because they're
yes.
no longer raw.
But they're now considering to do that for all foods, including organic food. And that's what people have to realize. And there's actually a book called Nuclear Lunch, which talks about the risk that irradiation poses. And, of course, what they've done is they've allowed contaminated food into this country. You know, we always hear about E. coli and how different foods have been contaminated with E. coli. Well, the reason this has happened, because countries like Mexico actually use human excrement as a fertilizer, and so you have strawberries and spinach and various vegetables that come into this country contaminated with E. coli because they're using human feces as a fertilizer. And, of course, they're allowing this to happen so that they can come down the pike and say, well, we have to pasteurize the food in order to make it safe. And how they made irradiation equal pasteurization, that's another big question. I mean, they're certainly not equivalent. Pasteurization involves raising temperatures to very high degrees, which also destroys all nutrients and foods. But irradiation is another whole level, because irradiation actually causes mutation of the genetics of the foods and actually does all kinds of other bad things in terms of the bacteria and viruses that are on the food. It's going to produce all kinds of mutants, and it also stimulates aflatoxin production. That's a toxin that's associated with certain molds and things of that nature. So this is what's happening, folks, and all I can say is if I was you, I would be learning how to grow an organic garden. But I want to really try to concentrate on the positives as much as possible during this show, because it is truly amazing what can happen to your health and well-being as you are eating a raw diet. And the first question I just wanted you to answer for our listeners, Dorit, is what is the difference between raw foods and living foods?
Well, the difference is that raw is exactly the way it comes off the tree or out of the ground. It's straight from nature. Nothing has been done to it. In other words, it's not been blended. It's not been in a food processor. It's not been changed in any way, shape, or form. So the apple, the way it is before it's juiced or before it's made into an apple pie, that's a raw food. A living food is something which has the enzymes and the life force of it intact, and is also usually we refer to sprouts as a living food. Usually anything that you can change the structure of slightly, like you put the raw food into a blender, you make a smoothie. It's still alive. It still has a lot of nutrients in there. But you've changed the molecular structure of the food already just by doing that or in a food processor. So we've got a lot of restaurants, like live food restaurants, that make anything from pizza to lasagna to soups, and those are live foods or living foods, but they're not really raw because everything has been changed and put into a recipe to make it look more like cooked food and the familiar food that's familiar to people.
So obviously the living foods are good, but the raw foods are what nature intended, and that's what nature uses, correct? That's what the animals in the wild are using. And you don't see chronic diseases amongst the critters that are out there in the wild. They're not having diabetes and fibromyalgia and all these other problems. They're eating food as nature supplied. And so, obviously, that's the highest level that we can aspire to. Would you agree?
Yes, except going back to something you said before, except that now the soil in the United States is so polluted and it's so lacking in minerals that what is happening is that the HSOs, the homeostatic soil organisms, which was the healthy bacteria that normally would have been able to destroy any kind of virus or any other kind of problems that might, you know, the E. coli bacteria would have been gobbled up by the healthy
yes.
bacteria from the soil. We wouldn't have had to worry about that. Now, because the soil is so depleted, the HSOs has also been depleted. We have also polluted the soil with DDT and pesticides and not allowing the land to lie fallow for 7 years, you know, so that it can replenish itself, the overuse of crops, the same crops being used all the time. All of this has destroyed the quality of the foods. So even now in the United States, a raw tomato does not have the same nutrients as it did many years ago before this happened to the soil. So even now, if you're eating raw, you're still not eating at the healthiest possible if your food is, you know, if you're in the United States eating food from here. So that's a problem. Even on the organic farms, and don't forget, the organic farms could also have E. coli and problems too, because they've got soil runoff, you know, from other farms nearby.
Right.
If the organic farm is, you know, further down from a farm that's not organic, the pesticides during when the rain comes, or even, you know, when the rainwater begins to seep down into the organic farm, they're going to get that too. And now we have the problem of genetically modified foods as well, which is
yes.
also going to pollute the source of an organic farm, which is really food that's healthy, that comes from soil that's healthy. So even eating raw, we're not eating the most vital way we could eat because of these problems. But it is given the circumstances, the most healing way, and at least your body has a fighting chance then.
Yes. And I'm so glad you mentioned the Frankenfoods, as I call them, because if you have a farmer next to you growing these genetically modified organisms, when the pollination series occurs, you know, they're going to be actually spreading their pollen downwind from you. And there was actually a farmer in Canada that was sued by Monsanto because their crops were actually contaminated with the Monsanto pollination. And this farmer certainly didn't want such contamination to occur because it was an organic farm. But Monsanto sued them, claiming that they had stolen their technology, which is totally insane. But this is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. So what do you advise your clients and listeners? Because I was actually on Dorit's show last week. She has a very excellent show also on I Am Healthy's, Healthy radio show. What do you advise your people to do? Obviously, it's impossible for us now to have perfect soil, to have, you know, pesticide-free food, even if we're growing our own, because as you said, we have the runoff to deal with. We have the neighbors with genetically modified crops. What do we do in this day to try to keep our food as healthy as possible?
Well, one of the things you mentioned before, grow your own food. Sprouting would be great because you can sprout in your own kitchen. So sprouts are also extremely alkaline. They're very high water content. And that's something that one of the biggest advantages of eating raw foods is the high water content, not just the high nutrient content, but since the nutrient content is not as high as it originally was, at least, you know, it has the high water content. And this is something that is crucial for every being. I don't think most people realize how important water is. And also not just the drink, I don't mean drinking water when you're eating. I'm talking about the water that's in the food itself.
Yeah.
Because inherent in the structure of the plant is exactly the amount of water that you need to digest it. So when you're eating a raw live food diet, you really do not need to drink excess water, and you don't drink with your meals, which also does dilute the hydrochloric acid, all the stomach acids. So you're not digesting your foods very well, and most people anyway have a small amount of hydrochloric acid left in their stomachs. So because of these problems, a raw food diet will heal tremendously problems like ulcers and other problems caused by low levels of hydrochloric acid in the stomach, which most people are not even aware of, simply because there's so much water content in the raw foods.
And it goes without saying, but I just want you to highlight to the listeners that obviously it's very important for your raw food to be organic, correct?
Oh, must. In no way, shape, or form am I at all advocating to eat anything but organic. Organic is actually not something that's meant to be grown organic. Organic really means the way it came out of the earth originally. This is before we invented pesticides and herbicides and all these other genetically modified organisms which are now killing our food supply and the earth and poisoning us and the air. It's polluting the air that we breathe. So I'm talking about organics was not something that you used to have to go and look for. Organic was the way we used to just go and pick anything and everywhere. So this is only because of industrialization do we now have this problem, mass overly industrialization, do we now have this problem and the profit-making margin that companies are looking for. So, yes, only organic foods, foods that are grown part of nature, for nature, by nature, in nature. Because we are nature, and that's the way we need to eat. And the reason for the illnesses and diseases is going against the laws of nature.
I totally agree with you. And of course, it's very hard for a lot of people. There's so many people now that are having financial difficulties in this very corrupt world that we live in. And it's really amazing the cost difference between buying organic as to just getting your regular produce off the shelf. Recently, I went to my local supermarket, which thankfully does have a lot of organic products available, and I bought an organic cabbage, and it cost $9. And the woman at the checkout stand was like, asking me. She re-rung it. She couldn't believe that a cabbage would cost $9. And then she said to me, are you sure you want to buy this cabbage? And my answer to her was, well, yes, I know it's a little more expensive, but I would certainly rather have a cabbage without pesticides than one with pesticides. And this is something that people have to realize. Yes, it's more expensive, but are you going to be just paying less money to get the poisons along with your foods? I have a very close friend who was recently told by her white coat that she has cancer in an ulcer within her duodenum, which is the first part of the small intestine. You know, she needs all this surgery, and they want to cut out her bowel and do all these things, and she's juicing, and she's juicing cabbage, and she's doing a lot of good things, trying to heal herself. But when I asked her if she was using organic foods, her response to me was, well, I want to use up what I have first. And my response to that was, well, you're basically making pesticide soup. People have to realize that, you know, these poisons concentrated in a juice form are actually very bad for you.
Very potent.
Would you
agree with that? Very potent.
Yes.
I agree with you. I like the name pesticide soup. That's exactly what it is. If you're juicing, you really must juice only organics. That is why sprouting is a great solution. Sprouts are very inexpensive to grow in your own kitchen, and you're in total control of what goes on with the sprouts. I really would like to also offer to people who do not want to buy a $9 cabbage is that if you have a farmer's market in your area, I strongly suggest you go to the farmer's market. If when you go to the farmer's market you find that it's still too expensive for your small income, then what I suggest is you go half an hour before the farmer's market closes. If you go then, the farmers that have food left, the organic farmers that have food left, will most definitely let you have quite a lot of it at an extremely inexpensive price because they do not want to cart it back home with them to the farm. And they probably have huge crops that they have to go and pick to take again to the market next time. So that is a great way to feed your family if you do not have a plot of land or even a small balcony or a windowsill. You can even grow things on a windowsill. Or go to your if you do not have a farmer's market or no place to grow your own food, go to the city hall and demand a farmer's market, get your neighbors together. Or also look for spaces in the neighborhood that are empty and not being used and ask the city if you can use it to grow a community garden. That's a great way of sharing the work of putting together your own food supply. But that is something we might end up having to do is grow our own food supply if we want to stay healthy.
That's a great idea. And if you could just explain to the listeners, in terms of sprouts, because there's so many possible sprouts that one could grow, could you please explain to the listeners what sprouts are the best sprouts to grow and what would you personally recommend?
My favorite sprouts are sunflower sprouts and pea sprouts. Everybody has a different favorite. Some people like alfalfa. Some people like clover sprouts. Some people like all different kinds of sprouts there are. So what you need to do is actually start with one or two or just go to a Whole Foods market if you have one in your area. Wild Oats has just merged with Whole Foods, so there's no more Wild Oats, but just merged. However, if you do not know which ones, I would recommend pea sprouts and sunflower because those are my favorites, and I find that most people really, really like those two as well. And what you can juice them. Sprouts are very high in water content. You can eat them in salads. You can put them on just anything that you're making, you can put them in. You can, you know, just chop them up and put them in the soup. If you're cooking and you're making hot soup, do not cook them. Never cook sprouts at all. And always wash them before you use them.
Wait, why would you always wash them? If you're making them in your own kitchen, why would you need to wash them? What are they being exposed to that you would need to wash them?
If it mold, if they're too old, they've been there for too long, and depends on the air in your kitchen, the air in your house, and the temperature as well. So that's the only reason why.
That's good to know. And are there... Was there something else you were going
to
say?
Yes. What I wanted to say, too, is that you need to get a really great book on sprouting. I would recommend any of the sprouting books by Steve Maravich. And he has a great book that will teach you how to grow the sprouts, how to harvest them, and then how to use them as well. Steve Maravich is his name.
Okay, please spell his last name, because that could be confusing.
I believe it's Meyorwitz, but... If you do not know, just look up the Sprout Man. He's also known as the Sprout Man.
The
if you just
Sprout
Google,
Man.
Yeah, Google the Sprout Man.
Google the Sprout Man. Okay. Sounds like a good plan to me. Okay. And are there any foods which should not be eaten raw? Because, for example, a lot of the people that I help, my clients that have vaccine-induced diseases, have leaky gut syndrome, and of course they're having food allergies because they're not able to. Digest the foods to their lowest denominator in terms of the nutrients, and they're becoming allergic to the foods because they're being released into their bloodstream in improper forms, and they're becoming allergic to those forms. So are there any foods that should not be eaten raw, or if you could give our listeners any advice on that subject?
Yes, Dr. Carley, there are, if the listeners have digestive disorders, I strongly suggest do not use the cruciferous vegetables first. Use the dark leafy greens, but start out with sprouts. Sprouts are the most alkaline. They will not cause any problems at all. And juice everything first. And I would start out definitely with fruits first. The fruits that are the ones that appeal to you most, that are the sweetest, usually start out with that and go gradually from fruits into the greens. Definitely the greens, but be careful with the cruciferous, because you'll need to steam at the beginning. Just steam them. Don't kill them. Just steam them where they're still crunchy, but they are much easier to digest for you. And maybe you need to start taking hydrochloric acid or something of the sort. You need to find out what's going on with your hydrochloric acid, and you need to chew them. If you find you're still having problems, you're not chewing properly. Most problems in the gut and the digestive tract is caused because people do not chew their food. And this is the first place where the food starts to digest is in the mouth. The ptyalin breaks down the starches and the sugars. And if you do not break it down, you won't be able to do it again. So you're going to end up having problems, so you've got to chew well. Anywhere from 25 to 50 times a mouthful.
Well, I also want to underline something that you said, because a lot of people don't realize how important it is not to drink a lot of fluid when they're eating. I mean, whenever people sit down to dinner, they're always got, you know, a large glass of a beverage, even if it's water. People don't realize that that's actually diluting their hydrochloric acid in their stomach. And that's what I always try to teach my clients, is that that's the one time you do not want to drink water. As wonderful as water is, you do not want to drink it when you're eating, because you're diluting the hydrochloric acid and the digestive enzymes later on down the line in the digestive tract that your food is needing to break it down. And so that's something I just wanted to underline, that you have to, you know, you drink all the water you can during the day, but when you're sitting down to eat, that is not when you want to be gulping a lot of water. But if you could also just explain to the listeners, because a lot of people that are listening are at different levels of knowledge, what is a cruciferous vegetable?
So things like broccoli, cauliflower, bok choy, Brussels sprouts, anything that belongs to that family. Those are the ones that usually are the hardest, and usually find that those are the ones that people think they're allergic to, or they say, oh, I can't eat that. It gives me gas or whatever. Well, of course it will if you're not digesting it properly, or if you're gulping down water, as Dr. Carley said, with it. And then it gets into your stomach. First of all, you're not chewing it properly, and then it gets into your stomach as this heavy load, and the hydrochloric acid has been diluted by the water. When food leaves the mouth, it needs to be liquid. There shouldn't be these huge pieces of things going down, because the only place in our body that we have anything to break it down are the teeth, and the teeth are only in the mouth. You won't find teeth anywhere else in the digestive tract that
right.
can chew it up and masticate it. So we've got to use the teeth for that. And if people don't have teeth, you know, for people who have problems with their teeth and they're not able to chew, then I highly recommend juicing. And you should also chew your juices, because you still want the saliva to mix with it and start the digestive process. And yes, it's very difficult when you're used to having a beverage when you with your meal. And I'd like to underline something Dr. Carley said. She said when you sit down, you must sit down for your meal. You should not be eating your meals in the car, running around, standing up, rushing from place to place. That is not eating. That is stuffing. And there's no way that the body can utilize the tension, the anxiety, and also the huge amount of distraction that is going on when you're doing that. It only adds to more anxiety and more problems for you in the digestive tract. And
that's
not to mention
so
the nervous system.
It's so important what you're mentioning, because, you know, dinner time, meal time in general used to be a time, it was like a social situation where people would get together and they would relax and they would share their events throughout the day. And this is very important. And the chewing, people don't realize, you know, I've been out with people and you see them eat and they order something from takeout and they're gulping it. My dog is a primary example of this. If I didn't cut up her meat, and I feed my dog organic raw meat, and
excellent.
If I didn't cut it up into very small pieces, you know, she would just swallow it. You know, there's no chewing involved there. And people do that as well. And just like Dorit says, this is the first phase of digestion is in the mouth where you're supposed to chew things, and it's supposed to be combined with the different digestive enzymes that are in the mouth. And this is very important for people to digest properly. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Hey, Rebecca, it's Sandra Bailey. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I love the show, love what you're talking about. And, of
Thank
course,
you.
I wanted to talk about the importance that not only of the raw food for humans, but also for our pets. And,
yeah.
Of course, as you know, I have written the book, Real Dogs Don't Eat Kibble, and that is exactly what
yeah.
it's about. It's about
Please
the raw diet.
Please tell our listeners, where can they get that book, Sandra?
Well, they could go to my website, which is thenaturallyhealthydog.com,
mm-hmm.
and get it on the website, or, of course, it is on the book sites like Amazon.com. Borders, et cetera.
Well, isn't this perfect how you called in just when I was mentioning pets? Because I love my pets. I have a dog and two cats. And that's what I want people to realize. Their pets are just as much what they eat as the people are. So, yes, please do give your massive knowledge about this to our listeners. Go ahead.
Well, of course, I call it the natural raw diet because that, of course, is what they have the canine family has always eaten is raw food in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I will debate with you a little bit here is their digestive system is so different to ours. And although it's important for us to chew our food, they're not designed to chew food. Their teeth are designed to rip and tear.
Yes, yes.
And their stomach is constructed in a way that it actually
yes.
does a lot of the digesting. It's
yes.
very muscular.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wait a minute. This is good news. So I don't have to
yes.
cut my dog's raw meat into little pieces?
Well, just
no,
so he doesn't choke
not.
On it. Well, just so he doesn't choke on it.
Okay, thank you. I'm
right.
learning
as
all
long
the
as they don't choke. That's
great.
But generally they don't. They generally get it down one way or another.
Okay,
yes, because
good.
They're yes, yes, because their digestive system is totally different from ours.
Excellent.
And they're carnivores. Plus they are carnivores.
Yes, that's
And so they have a totally
correct.
Different digestive system.
And but they're not a true carnivore like cats are. And so they do need raw vegetables and fruit.
Yes.
in with
yes.
their diet. And, of course,
yes.
if you watch them out, you know, they'll eat, they'll pick up berries and acorns and all kinds of nuts and
avocados. Avocado. They love avocado, most of them.
Oh, they love everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are some fruits and vegetables that is not good for them. I'm not going to go into that on your show because I really think that people really want to hear about the raw food for.
But once you mention it, you may as well.
Well, also, I want to do a show with Sandra down the line just for pets. But I know mushrooms is one thing that pets need to avoid. Could you just quickly mention some other things they need to avoid?
Yes, no grapes, no raisins, no onions cooked or raw, no macadamia nuts. Those are the ones I'm thinking of off the top of my head. They don't digest bovine products like milk or what from cattle as well, cheese, etc.
Nobody
but
does.
They do digest goat products. Goat milk, goat yogurt is very good for them.
Okay.
Raw eggs, of course. Raw egg yolks, I might say, not the whites. You know, it's just a lot of really just about everything out there. There's just a handful of foods that you have to avoid, but. Of course, I do the vegetables and fruits in a blender so that you can mix it in with their food, and that way they have to eat it whether they want it or not.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm so glad you called in, Sandra, and like I said, I want to do a show with you down the line just in regarding the pet diet. Since I started my pets on organic dog food and cat food, the difference in their health and their coat is just unbelievable. And this is what you all have to realize, folks. Yes, you're going to pay more to eat organic, but the difference is unbelievable health, and it's worth it. And I thank you so much for calling in, Sandra. And I'm sure that this is a very important thing for people to learn, that even pets can get raw pet food.
Especially pets, because that's what they're used to in the wild. That's what their system is made for.
Exactly.
None of us is made for processed foods.
Yeah.
Processed food
comes
out of the factory.
And I look forward to doing a show with you, and y'all continue because this is a great subject. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandra.
And Dorit, if you could just tell the listeners, because you see, I'm always learning myself. I will confess that I do not have a raw diet at this point. I'm a single person. I go out to eat a lot. Unfortunately, in Hickory, North Carolina, where I live, there's not even an organic restaurant. So
you probably have salads and fruit, don't you?
Well, there's one place I found out recently that has an organic salad bar. But what I wanted to have you stress to the listeners is the difference between, as you said, eating a raw diet as opposed to juicing and steaming. You know, there's many levels to the insult that we give to our food. And if you could just possibly explain to the listeners what those different levels of insults cause, because we all, you know, we all try to do the best we can. When I steam a whole plate of organic vegetables, I'm very proud of myself. I think that I did a good thing, but now you're letting me know that maybe not. It would be better if I just sat and crunched it all, even though it would take me three times as long to eat it.
But you'd get more nutrients in the end.
By eating less.
And this is why so many people who eat raw or live foods, their weight's normalized because the toxicity is no longer there. If you steam your foods, it's fine. If you're just beginning and you're transitioning, it's perfectly fine. Just steam it where it's still crunchy so it's not lost all its nutrient value and it's not killed any of the enzymes in it. So what you need to do, and nor take most of the water out of it, because when you see the steam rising, there goes the water to content of the food.
Yeah.
So the reason why people drink when they sit down and eat is because they're eating cooked foods where the water content in the food is no longer there. It's been cooked out. And that's why they have the craving to have a beverage or water or something liquid, the food. In fact, they even have this saying, you know, I need something to wash it down. Well, of course you need something to wash it down if you have not chewed it and it's no longer liquid. And also if all the water content has been cooked out. So if you're steaming, just make sure it's only lightly steamed. And steam only the cruciferous fruits. Steam like asparagus, steam your Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cabbages, things like that. But if you're able to eat cabbage raw, it's much better raw, of course. I'm talking about people who are not able at this point to have it. But if you start this way and you start adding some raw and some live foods and you eat it sitting down and you chew it properly and you eat with gratitude and appreciation, you will find that your digestive system will actually begin to heal itself, because the body is always wanting to go back to homeostasis. It's always trying to do that. And when you give it what it needs, it on its own will heal itself. We have seen miracles.
I'm so glad you said that, Dorit, in terms of eating with gratitude. I have learned that an attitude of gratitude is so important in our life. To be
crucial.
Grateful, no matter what situations that you're encountering as you're living your daily life, to have an attitude of gratitude. And when you sit down for your meal, to be grateful to the Creator for all you have in front of you on your table, and to have that expectation of nutrition, that everything is going to be feeding you and making you well, it's going to happen. There's such a thing as manifestation. And I think we have another caller. Is there another caller on the line?
Yes, there is.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah, I have a question. I was wondering if sushi and seaweed salad would be considered raw foods.
If what? What did you say before seaweed?
Sushi and seaweed.
Okay,
I'll let you answer that, and then I'll put in my 2 cents. Go for it.
Okay. I am talking. When we say raw foods, I'm so glad you asked that. What's your name?
Rodney.
Rodney, I'm so glad you asked that question, because neither Dr. Carly nor I have yet clarified that I am talking about raw vegan foods. Vegan meaning vegetarian and no dairy, no animal products in any way, shape, or form. So when you say sushi, we do have, there are different kinds of sushi. If you're talking about raw fish, is that what you mean, Rodney?
Like California rolls, I know that has avocados in it.
Okay, first of all, sushi is raw. But when I say raw, I'm talking raw vegan, and I need to clarify that, and thank you for reminding me of this. So I'm a raw vegan, but there are people who do eat raw meat, raw dairy, raw milk, and raw fish. So, sushi is raw, but it's not raw vegan. We do make sushi. It's sushi that people know traditionally. But there are different kinds of sushi. So there is a raw vegan sushi, and that's what I'm talking about. Seaweed salad, if it's not been cooked, it's probably one of the highest form of nutrients on the planet are the sea vegetables. And everybody should be eating more seaweed and sea vegetables. I'm talking about nori, hiziki. When you order miso soup in a restaurant, sometimes you have some seaweed in there, sometimes not. But when you go to a Japanese restaurant, there's plentiful supply of sea vegetables. If it's not being cooked, Rodney, then yes, it is raw. It's just been soaked, but not cooked yet.
Now let me add my 2 cents. When I was in medical school, one of the few helpful experiences that I went through was we actually looked at sushi under the microscope. And as far as the seafood goes, there are so many parasites in the seafood. And if you do not cook the seafood, you are eating those parasites, and you can undergo a serious problem if you're going to eat raw seafood. Just like if you eat raw pork, you get trichinosis. There's all kinds of different things that you can be exposed to if you eat raw meat of any type, including seafood. So, you know, raw sushi, in terms of just the types that you're speaking of, that has raw avocado, that's probably fine. But if it's got any kind of seafood in it, that is not cooked that has a possible parasite, I would avoid it like the plague.
Yes, that's why we're talking raw vegan here.
Yes.
Totally raw
okay.
vegan.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm so glad
you.
He called. Yeah. I'm so glad he called for that with that question. Okay, Dort, we're running out of time so quickly, as we always do. This is an excellent show. I just want to highlight what you're saying in terms of eating raw foods, that obviously they're much higher in digestive enzymes. There's all kinds of enzymes that are in the raw foods, as well as oxygen. And
lots
that's
of
very
chlorophyll.
Thing.
Yeah, lots of chlorophyll.
Yes, and that's how the oxygen comes in.
Yes.
But I just wanted you to talk to our listeners and tell them, why is the workshop that you have taught entitled The Sacred Art of Eating? I love that title.
Because eating is a sacred art form, Dr. You know, we've forgotten that the sacredness of our own being and our own existence, and therefore we attack our food supply with the same violence that we perpetuate on ourselves on a daily basis and on each other.
Yes.
So what I do in the workshops that I teach, and I do go around all of North America teaching this, is that you've got to really become very aware of who you are before you approach your food, because our relationship with food is very indicative of our relationship with ourselves. And that's why most people have an issue with food and have eating problems and disorders around food. Remember, when I'm talking about food here, I'm not talking about in the book, I talk about the difference between foods and non-foods. I'm not talking about something that's been manufactured in a laboratory or in a factory and then sold as food. I'm talking about food that comes straight from the earth. So when you approach the food, so much has gone into the food. Farmers have gotten up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and toiled for it. The people have trucked it to you. People's hands have put it on the shelves for you. People have done so much to bring you that food. To just throw it down your throat without any feeling of gratitude or any awareness is a tremendous amount of problems that lack of awareness creates. It's the lack of awareness in our lives that creates our problems. It's not the awareness. When we live with awareness, then we're able to make choices from a place of present being and a place of gratitude. If we live without awareness, then that's how we're able to just throw the food down, gobble it, and then wonder why it doesn't come out, the waste doesn't come out the other end, which leads to so much constipation, and that's a huge other show of why we're all so constipated. And the Sacred Art of Eating, I teach tools and exercises of how to get back to the sacred space of our being and how to approach the food differently. So any issues that people have had around food not only are dispersed, but they work on it bit by bit through the exercises and the workshops, because the workshop goes from 1 to 2 to 3, so it's gradual. Or people work with me privately. I have private coaching sessions as well to change the relationship with food, because our relationship with food is exactly the same of a relationship with each other, and therefore it's indicative of a relationship with ourselves.
Well, all I can say is amen. That's so important what you're saying. And if you could just tell our listeners in terms of how they can reach you and the book. You have a book entitled The Sacred Art of Eating, correct? And
it's Celebrating Our Raw Nature.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The book is Celebrating Our Raw Nature.
Okay.
It's on Amazon.com as well.
Okay. Well, how can people reach you and get the book and possibly get a private consult with you? And learn about your Raw Lifestyle Film Festival that you're also doing, because we're running out of time. We're not going to be able to get into that in great detail. But you're doing so many wonderful things in terms of teaching people the raw lifestyle. Is there a way that they can sign up with you for email updates, or what can they do?
Yes, Dr. Carly, they can go straight to the website, which is, if people remember the word serene, so serenity, spaces, www.healthyourself.org. It's about creating the, going back to the serene spaces inside of us, creating a meal and the way we approach our meals so that will take us back to the serene spaces within us. So the website is serenityspaces.org, and if they click on the contact column, they can contact me that way, or they can phone 310 area code 8542078. The film festival itself is about all the different documentaries and all the different miracles that have come about, people changing their diet and how food is so important for health that it can either be our medicine or it can be what kills us. So the relationship between both are shown very much in the film festival, and a lot of the things that we've been speaking about today, the films that go deeper into that. And also, then that's in March in Los Angeles, and that's also available on the website. The book, Celebrating or Raw Nature, is available on Amazon.com, and the first book, which is a transitioning book for people who do not want to be totally raw, is available on the website, and that's a special limited edition book. So both books are called Celebrating or Raw Nature. The one in Amazon.com is a new one. It's revised. It's an all life foods version. The one on my website is a special limited edition of transitioning that has some cooked food, introducing people to things like quinoa and kamut and grains, which are very healing and helpful to come off of the standard American ill diet that leads to illness. For coaching, they can go to the website also, and all the information is on there about the coaching. It's called Life Skills, and because the skills that we develop for food is the same thing for all our lives, just a different tool that we're using.
And I'm smiling from ear to ear as you're saying this, because of course the white coats put no value on nutrition. I had 2 years of pharmacology and 10 hours of nutrition in medical school, and they taught us that vitamins give us expensive urine. And of course we have totally lost this connection to nature, and that's what we have to get back to, is our connection to nature in order to heal ourselves. And I would strongly recommend that all of you check out Dorit's books and her website and her private consults if you think that you need to go there, not just for yourself, but for your pets as well. As Sandra, our caller, was talking about, we'll be doing a show with her upcoming in the future. And I want to thank you, Dorit, so much for being on the show to teach our listeners that, you know, we have a connection with nature. We are what we eat. We have to be sacred in terms of what we're being exposed to. And the powers that be are trying to distract us from that sacredness and bring us down other roads, pesticided, genetically engineered, irradiated food. We have to do everything we can to avoid that, because nature is where it's at in terms of healing.
Well said.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. God bless you. I really appreciate this time with you. And please keep in touch, folks. I appreciate all the emails I'm getting from the listeners in terms of future shows that we're going to be doing. Stay tuned to What's Ailing America, where we're also going to be telling you what's healing America, because we want to give you the good news as well as what you need to know to, you know, survive in this present-day situation.
Thank you, Dr. Carly.
Thank you. God bless, and have a good night. Bye-bye.